We're going to edit that out. All right, so we've been disappointed by a lot of people. That's true. Next question is, why were we disappointed? Why were you disappointed? What? Don't want to hear that one. All right. They did not live up to our expectations. That's exactly what I got written down here. Not exactly, but it's actually pretty much close. We have... We are disappointed because we have expectations that are not met. Now, the first person that was... When I asked who disappointed you, the first person, first couple people said me, right? And sometimes the people that we disappoint the most are ourselves, right? We have expectations of how we want to accomplish things or what we want to happen. And we don't often meet our own expectations. So the question is where do our expectations come from? Anybody got an answer to that question? Where do our expectations come from? Our imagination, our thoughts, okay? Desires from other people, our experiences. Yeah, I'm going to summarize all of that into our will or their will, right? And so we have this constant tension of what I want and what other people want. And then we have this thing called the battle of the wills, right? And when we're dealing with other people, we have this expectation of what's going to happen. And when their expectation or when my expectation doesn't match their performance, it leads to frustration, disappointment. I want to read out of Psalms 42, 1 through 11, and I think we can connect with disappointment that's being expressed here, discouragement. It says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. While they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go to the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me?" Anybody ever been through a phase like that? Or just discouragement is your constant companion. You remember those good times and you wonder, what's going on? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help. Why are you disquieted? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All of your waves and billows have gone over me. That same phrase, your waves and billows have gone over me, or have gone over, is in Jonah when he is in the belly of the well. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night, his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go on mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies approach me. And while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Sometimes discouragement can set in. And although we want to put our faith and trust in Jesus, although we want to see the joy of the Lord in our life, it seems like all we're met with is discouragement and frustration. I want to read another passage. It's out of Luke chapter 2, 25 through 35. It says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." Consolation means encouragement or consoling. The consolation of Israel. "The Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Behold,'" that's not what he said. He said, "'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed.'" Simeon was able to see Jesus before he died. And he recognized that Jesus is our salvation. Even in times of discouragement, he is the one that saves us. Jesus not only offers us salvation, redeeming us from our past mistakes, giving us a fresh conscience, allowing us to receive him and with him to receive a clean conscience through the eyes of faith, but also he gives us a new purpose and a new hope, a new reason for living, a new desire. Simeon also recognized that Jesus is the light of life. You know, there is a third option besides one person abusing another for their own desires. And that third option is for both to yield to Christ. His will is the best direction for our life and for theirs. You know, oftentimes we think, this is what I want, right? And what my wife wants is in competition to what I want, right? And so we compete and say, hey, well, I'll let you have what you want this time, but I want to have what I want next time, right? And we try to work out some deal. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But instead of doing that, what if we both yield to what is it that God wants us to do? What is it that Christ wants us to do? And instead of trying to get my will done, what if we both yield to his will? Jesus is the light of life. He shows us when we yield to him the direction that is best, not only for myself, but for ourselves. My family, my church, my government. He is the light. Simeon also recognized that Jesus is going to reveal the hearts of many. And that is kind of a scary thing. It's a lot easier to dress up and come to church on Sunday than it is to actually allow God to change our hearts. Not everyone is willing to yield to Christ. And we can't see a person's heart, but Christ will reveal it. And the question is, are you willing to surrender? Are you really willing to surrender to God's will for your life? The last point is this: hope in the Lord. Put your hope in Jesus. Psalms 43, 1 through 5 says, "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go on mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. And then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you. O God, my God, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." This Psalm 43 is the follow-up from that first psalm that we read, Psalm 42. And it's a psalm of hope, hoping in God. And there's three things that I want to encourage you out of this psalm. One is, do not grow weary. As we look for the consolation in Christ, once we have committed to following his way, we must stay the course. We must not give up. The second thing is, keep living for the Lord. What do I mean by that? Don't make the mistake of trying to baptize the flesh. Keep living for Jesus. You know, sometimes as Christians, we get this idea of, God really wants me to do this, right? And it's actually really, I want God to really want me to do this, right? I remember that probably one of the best examples would be one Black Friday, we lived in Kansas City, and there was a Wii that was pretty new, and it was on sale on Black Friday. And I told my wife, I said, I think we should get this. And she said, I think that's a waste of money. And I said, yeah, but you can get this free exercise board because it's Black Friday, and then I can use it to exercise. And she said, will you really use it to exercise? I said, of course I will use it to exercise. And so we got it. And you can see how, by how big I was when I got here, I probably didn't really use it to exercise as much as I should have. Well, probably not for exercise. I did use it, but sometimes we make that same mistake of thinking, you know, God wants me to sit here and watch a movie. God really is saying, hey, take the day off. Just make some hot chocolate and just enjoy yourself, right? It's like, no, I kind of don't think that's God saying that. We need to keep putting God's will first. Don't baptize your own will. And then the last thing is, stay loyal to Jesus. Stay loyal to him. It says, send out your light and your truth, and let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. As we follow Jesus, and as we stay loyal to him through temptation, through trying times, he will bring us to that place, that beautiful place of joy and peace in him. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. He is looking for people who will be faithful to him. And when he finds people who are faithful to him, he shows himself strong. And so the question is, will you be found loyal? God does not work on our schedule, but he never forgets the faithful, and he rewards them with peace. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an awesome God. And Simeon is a great reminder of the kind of temperament and patience that is required for the Christian life. We serve you. We live for you. We watch for you. And we wait for you. And when we least expect it sometimes, that's when you show up. You never forget us. You're always with us. And you love us. And so, Lord, we want to honor you and worship you this day and every day hereafter. We thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the grace that you've given to us through him. That through discouragement we can find hope, and that through hard times we can overcome, because your grace is enough for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would our worship team come forward at this time? We're going to have worship. If you'd like to stand with us as we sing, our first song is Your Grace Is Enough.